Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Birmingham, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, please stay tuned because it could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. Our show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we do it with always, as I say, without any manipulation. It means we're not here to manipulate you in any way. Nothing for you to join, nothing for you to buy, no hidden agendas, no political agendas, anything like that. This is strictly a dialogue. This is me talking to you about the infallible Word of God. No preaching, no yelling, no shouting, you know, just strictly teaching you what the Bible says. Hopefully so that you can verify and identify God's plan for your life, and hopefully you'll orient and adjust to that plan. I try to give you clear and lucid Bible information. I try to authenticate everything that I teach you from the Word of God. A lot of times people will say, well, you haven't really taught me something that I didn't know, but you put it in a way I've never heard it put before. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to show you how the protocol plan of God functions. I'm trying to show you the principles and the procedures that are involved in living the Christian life so that you don't spin your wheels, so that you don't wind up doing a right thing in a wrong way. So many people do that. So many people never learn the protocol plan of God. They never quite get it all figured out. They try to get involved in a local church and they want to learn how to glorify God and please God, but they wind up getting frustrated. Getting unhappy, some even pull out and drop out, etc., because they're not able to live up to their own self-righteous standards or the standards of their friends around them. And they wonder, well, if I was saved, why would I even do that? Unfortunately, we all have a sin nature. We all make mistakes. And that's part of what this show is about, to identify the various enemies that we face. One of the enemies is the devil. We've talked quite a bit about Satan. We've had several shows on him, who he is. We've also talked about the lure of the world, the cosmic vortex, the zeitgeist, the spirit of the times, and how it's out there always spinning, always trying to seduce you into human viewpoint thinking. Your friends will give you human viewpoint. They'll help you orient to the world. Someone will tell you, you know, if you could just meet the right woman, you'd be happy. If you just could get a new car, if you could just join this or join that, if you could just be accepted here, accepted there. See, that's the lure of the world. It's worldliness is not you going to some bar, going to some nightclub. It may be a sin on your behalf. That's not what worldliness is. Worldliness is you chasing the lure of the world, thinking that your happiness is in what the world offers. And it is not. It never has been. The Bible tells you you're not of this world. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a sojourner. You're passing through. Your citizenship is in heaven. And so why look to the things of the world to make you happy? They can't. It's impossible. And so that's what the lure of the world is. But the enemies that we face, like Satan or like the world, those are enemies outside the gate. But the enemy in the gate is the sin nature. It's that old man within us. He never has obeyed God, and he never will. He's called in the Bible the flesh. When he's controlling our life, the Bible says we are carnal. This is not the way the protocol plan of God is designed to function. You can't please God when your old sin nature is controlling your life. And yet a lot of people never learn that. Not a lot of people never understand that. And a lot of people go through the motion of religion, which is simply the ritual without the reality to it. And that's why we're doing this show called The Flatline, to help you understand the problem-solving devices found in the Word of God, to help you come to understand how the protocol plan of God functions so that you can orient and adjust. And all of this is designed for one thing, to give God maximum glory through your life so that you can have maximum production in your life as a Christian. So that you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, can help reconcile the world to God through Christ. After all, that's your job, to lift up Christ. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But unless you learn the plan, unless you understand how these things function, Unless you come to identify the enemies that you face, you're never going to be a successful Christian. That's why the Bible says you should study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, you've heard me speak of the passage in Hebrews 5 that says you've been a Christian a long time now and you ought to be teaching others. But instead you've gone back to where someone has to teach you the basic principles of the Word of God all over again. Unfortunately, I see this many, many, many times. As I travel around, as I'm invited to speak in different churches, I run into people that don't have a clue about how the mechanics of God function. They operate on their emotions, and they are up and down and all around, and they really don't know what they're doing. And Satan, I'm sure, gets a good laugh out of it. Here's a building with the name church on it. Here's a building with a denominational tag attached to it. And here inside this building are a lot of people that don't have a clue to what the Christian life is all about. It's ashamed. You know, sometimes they'll actually get the gospel right. Sometimes they will actually have people getting saved and becoming members in their organization. But that's about as far as it goes, because once they get in, they get put under a system of legalism, of operational mechanics that no one can live up to. And they get frustrated. And they either get out or they play the game, one of the two. But it doesn't glorify God when you don't do the right thing in the right way. And that's why the protocol plan of God is so important, because you have to do the right thing in the right way if you ever want to give God the glory. For example, you've heard me say it's never wrong to pray, but there's a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. So we have been studying on this radio show in the last few weeks some of the enemies that we face, and about a week ago we started into a little study about the sin nature. All of us have this sin nature. The sin nature within us is against God's laws. As I said, it never has obeyed God, and it never will. I identified the sin nature for you, where it came from. It came from Adam. I showed you how the Bible said, "For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and now death has passed on to all men, for all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death." And I showed you that it's spiritual death. And the sin nature, you see, when we are born related to Adam, we receive a genetically formed sin nature. And once Adam's original sin is imputed to that genetically formed sin nature, we die spiritually. This happens at birth, simultaneous to being born. We're born physically alive, but born spiritually dead, and thus the need to be born again spiritually. But when we're born again, that doesn't mean that we no longer have any temptations to face. It doesn't mean that when we're born again spiritually, we're no longer going to have a sin nature. Being born again spiritually means this, that when you're born physically, you have a body and you have a soul, but you do not have a spirit. And the Bible says if you're going to worship God, you must worship Him with spirit and in truth. So you have to be born again spiritually to have a relationship with God. Therefore, Jesus told Nicodemus he needed to be born again in John chapter 3. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, talks about the new birth. It says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new species. Old things are passed away and all things become new. That is the spiritual birth. When you put your faith and your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, you are born again spiritually. You don't change on the outside. You still have the same body. Your soul doesn't change. You still have your mentality. You still have your volition. You still have your conscience and your self-consciousness. But you are made alive spiritually. And for the first time in your life, you're able to have a relationship with God. And the way that that happens technically is that God, the Holy Spirit, comes to indwell your dead human spirit and activates it and makes it alive. And sets up a tabernacle or a temple inside of you where Jesus Christ comes and camps out. He indwells you. And now you have a war. Now you have a battle. Now you have something going on that you never had going on before. It is the inward battle between the Spirit of God and the sin-infused human nature. And it is never-ending. As long as you live in this world, as long as you live inside this planet, in this corrupt body that is infected with a sin nature, you have an infected body. Your body is infected with a sin nature. And you know, what's interesting is some people act like they don't sin, you know. I mean, we have some people who have a self-righteous pattern, And we have some people who have a lascivious pattern. So the self-righteous person says, well, I would never get drunk and go chase women or men at the honky-tonk. And the lascivious pattern says, I'm going to get drunk and go chase men or women at the honky-tonk. See the different patterns? And so the self-righteous person thinks, I'm a pretty good Christian because I don't drink, I don't smoke, you know, I don't chew. And the lascivious Christian knows he's a terrible Christian because I do drink, smoke, and chew, etc. See what I'm saying? You have to be very careful about this because you will be misled by this. A lot of people's sin nature has a trend or an area of strength. Even lost people can operate under this area of human strength and human good. Even a lost person can be faithful to his wife. Even a lost person cannot cheat on his taxes. So for you to think that as a Christian in Jesus Christ, because I don't cheat on my taxes or I don't get drunk or I don't gamble, then I'm a good Christian. Wrong. That's not the indication of a good Christian. Those may be some things that a good Christian definitely does, but it's not how you become a good Christian. And so you have to understand that people with religious tendencies face different tests than people with irreligious tendencies. A lascivious person will fail in ways that a self-righteous person will not fail. Both of them have a sin nature. And by the way, in case you forgot it, it was the religious, self-righteous person that crucified Jesus Christ. It was the scribes and the Pharisees, Caiaphas, the high priest, that hatched the plot to have Jesus, the anointed Son of God, crucified for all of Jerusalem so that the Romans wouldn't take them all over and they wouldn't lose their power and their prestige. Excuse me. It was Caiaphas, the high priest, that manufactured this whole lie about Jesus Christ. It wasn't the prostitutes and it wasn't the tax collectors. So remember that. It's the self-righteous, religious, self-righteous crowd that was the enemy of Jesus Christ our Lord. And they are, in fact, today still the enemy of truth. And it is a religious, self-righteous crowd that will tell you that you can't go to heaven if you smoke a cigarette. You can't go to heaven if you listen to rock and roll. You can't go to heaven if you chew lollipops. And that's ridiculous. It's not what the Bible says. So this inward battle goes on and on between the Spirit of God inside of you and your sin-infused human nature with whatever trends you may have, trend toward legalism, trends towards lasciviousness. They're both trends of sin, just in different ways. One of them, let me put it this way. One of them is a immoral degeneracy, and one of them is a moral degeneracy. See, even we today know that the Muslim extremists pretend to be very moral. We recently had the leader of the Muslim world from Iran here in the United States. He wouldn't go to a state-recognized dinner because they served alcohol. That's a moral trend. But a person is not saved because he doesn't go to a dinner where alcohol is not served. See, that's a moral trend. You're going to have to forgive my voice a little bit today. I've started a new show in California, and we've recorded 4 shows for California here today, and now we're recording your show along with some others that we've done, so I think my voice is getting a little rough, but you'll just have to forgive me and bear with me as I go through this. So again, I want to remind you that all of our bodies are corrupted because we're all infected with a sin-infused human nature that came from birth. Now at death, here's the thing to remember. Here's something you can say, thank God for this. At death, we put off this body and we take on a resurrection body. When we get our resurrection body, it will be minus the sin nature. We're not going to have that dude with us in eternity. It's not going to be packing with us in eternity. 1 Corinthians 15:53 says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. So the body that we inhabit today is corruptible. It has a sin-infused human nature. The resurrection body that we're going to get in eternity will not have that. So, if you're going to control your sin nature, then you're going to have to learn to recognize what those patterns are, how your sin nature operates, what it does, what are the patterns of your sin nature. You're going to have to learn to recognize that every sin nature has an area of weakness. That's where all of our personal sins flow, out of the area of weakness. And that area of weakness has eventual consequences. It will eventually lead you to evil and lead you into some sort of moral or immoral degeneracy, religious self-righteous degeneracy, or some sort of immoral degeneracy. That old sin nature, if you let it control you long enough, if you give in to your area of weakness, you're going to produce personal sin. You might get drunk, you might fornicate, you might commit adultery, or you just might judge, malign, and criticize other people. See, maybe that's not your weakness. Maybe you're not going to go into the immoral side. Maybe you're going to go into the morality side. Either way, the consequent danger is evil in your life and degeneracy in your life. Everybody's old sin nature has this area of weakness. It's the trigger. It's the one thing. And, you know, don't make a mistake about this. Satan knows what it is. He knows what will trigger you. And he can manipulate the world to pull that trigger. And your old sin nature will willingly leap forward to control your soul once again, to control your thinking once again. Right now, as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he's controlling your life, and your volition is the key. And so the temptation comes down the pipe, and your volition pulls the trigger. It's the thing that you're the weakest in. It's the thing that gets you every time. And so down the pipe it comes, and boom, you do it. And now you're in sin. Now, everyone's old sin nature has an area of strength. That area of strength is produces what's called human good. Human good is no good as far as God's concerned. It's certainly not acceptable to God. It may look great to other people, but not to God. Human good is, the Bible says, there are none that are good, no, not one. All of our righteousness is like a filthy rag in God's eyes. And so you can come up with a lot of human good, but certainly not going to impress God. Human good is right thing done in the wrong way. It can be tithing. It couldn't be church attendance. It can be daily prayers. But if you do these things out of fellowship with God, under control of your sin nature, they come from the area of strength of your sin nature, not from the filling of the Holy Spirit. They come from the area of strength of your sin nature, and they are human good, and they will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Many, many, many Christians perform human good in the area of strength of the sin nature. They go to church with known sin in their life. They know there's sin there, yet they don't confess it. They don't use problem-solving device number one in the protocol plan of God. They don't use rebound. They go to church. They have known sin in their life. Human good takes over. They're in the right place at the wrong way. They throw some money in the offering plate. They may even lead in a public prayer. Human good. All of it's human good. All of it will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. They did a right thing in a wrong way. They're in the right place. They're doing the right thing, but they're not doing it under the filling of the Spirit. They're doing it from the operational side of the area of strength of the old sin nature. Please understand this. The old sin nature has an area of strength. But the Bible says in Romans 8:8, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot please God in your area of strength. The only thing that's ever going to be acceptable to God is when you operate under the divine protocol procedure. And when you produce or manufacture divine good, not human good. Divine good are those things manufactured under the filling of the Spirit. And so if you go to church and you're filled with the Spirit, right thing, right way. If you give money and you're filled with the Spirit, right thing, right way. If you pray, you're filled with the Spirit, right thing, right way. You can turn that right around and do that with known sin in your life, and it's right thing, wrong way. Now, all of us have lust patterns. Everybody that's listening to me has a lust pattern right now. Don't know what your lust pattern is. I'm not interested in what your lust pattern is, and you don't want to know mine. But all of us have a lust pattern. We don't all lust for the same thing. Some people lust for money. Some people lust for attention. Some people lust for power. Some people lust for sex. Some people lust for drugs. Some people lust for alcohol. Whatever your lust pattern is, don't ever make the mistake of comparing yourself to someone else and saying, I'm spiritual because I don't do this, and they do that, so they're not spiritual. Maybe it's not your area of lust. And so our old sin nature has an area of weakness. Our old sin nature has an area of strength. Our old sin nature has definite lust patterns. And our old sin nature produces personal sin. All of us sin. All of us sin every day. Now, our sins come in three different ways. It can be something that we think. It can be something that we say. Or it can be something that we do or something that we do not do. And these are all motivated. They're all from the source of the sin nature. They're all products of the sin nature. Something you think in terms of a sin could be a mental attitude sin, like jealousy, anger, fear, worry, guilt. Something that you say could be gossip, slander, maligning, lying, criticizing. That's a sin of the tongue, something you say. And something you do or do not do, well, those are pretty obvious. Stealing, murder, rape, fornication, adultery, etc. So old sin nature is going to reveal itself in one of those three ways. So one of the things you have to be aware of is when your old sin nature has taken control of your life and when the Holy Spirit has been subdued. You're not to operate under the power of the old sin nature. You've been set free of the power of the old sin nature. You have a choice. And since you chose to let the old sin nature take control of your life, you now have to make another choice. Are you going to let it stay in control? Or are you going to recover and put the Holy Spirit back in control? Now, both the temptations of the world and the temptations of Satan are designed to sidetrack your spiritual life, to get you back under the control of that sin nature. And as long as you let that sin nature control your life, you're never going to advance spiritually. You're never going to grow up spiritually. You're just going to be stuck in a rut. You have to understand this. This is what so many people do not understand. You can't tame your sin nature. You just can't do it. You're not going to tame your sin nature. The spiritual life is not you taming your sin nature. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We all sin, every one of us. But there's a difference between our position and our experience. In your position, you are in Christ. You're in Christ. Excuse me. Your righteousness is because of the righteousness of Christ. So your position is secure. You're in Christ. But your experience and time, you're in a human body. And that human body is infected with a sin-infused nature. And you will sin. You are going to sin. Maybe you saw the movie, I've Gone Wild, and it was about you. It's your old sin nature on steroids. When your old sin nature kicks in, it can go wild. You can do some pretty stupid things. And you may even think, boy, if I was saved, why would I even think about that? If I was saved, why would I even do that? Why do these thoughts come into my mind? Why do I entertain these ideas? Why did I act like that? It's because you let that old sin nature out of the box. You didn't walk in the Spirit. There's an alternative. You don't have to let it out of the box. You don't have to let it control you. You have a choice. You have an option. You can live under the control of the Spirit, or you can let your old sin nature resume control of your life. It's up to you, and God's a gentleman. He gives you the choice. Galatians 5:19-21 says, the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, depravity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish rivalry, dissension, envy, murder, drunkenness, carousing, and many similar things. And Paul goes on to say, those who practice these things will not have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. So, I mean, the old sin nature is pretty obvious. It's not hard to tell when it's in control. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and meekness and gentleness. And wow, what a antithetical difference between the old sin nature and the Holy Spirit. And the choice is yours. And you have to make that decision. Who am I going to let control my life? There's no one-shot deal you can do at church to guarantee the Holy Spirit's going to be in control every day. There's no such thing as going forward and dedicating. Excuse me. There's no such thing as going forward and dedicating your life to Christ. And now, from this day forward, you're never going to have any more temptations. You're never going to make any more mistakes. You're never going to sin anymore. It's just not possible. That's one of the fallacies that organized religion presents today, that if you'll come forward and at the campfire and promise God, you know, dedicate your life to the Lord, surrender to the Lord, yield to the Lord, that it's all going to be good and rosy. And it's not. Every day is a battle. Every day you get up, you will be tempted. Every day you must decide, am I going to walk in the filling of the Spirit today, or am I going to let my old sin nature take control? And you know what your trends are. You know what your weaknesses are. You know the sin that you constantly do repeatedly over and over and over again. Isn't it amazing? People say, well, I must not really be saved because I keep doing that same sin over and over and over again. Well, do you think you're any different than anyone else? You have an area of weakness. They have an area of weakness. They go to theirs. You go to yours. They get out of fellowship. You get out of fellowship. Both of you go right to the area of weakness. You can't tame that thing. You're not going to make your old sin nature not sin. You're not going to make your old sin nature behave. You can walk in the Spirit and not let Him take control. You can stay filled with the Spirit and not let the sin nature control your life, and that's a volitional decision. Sometimes you will sin. What happens if you give in to the temptation? What happens if you commit to sin? You can recover quickly. You can use problem-solving device. Number one, rebound. And it says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. You can rebound, and hopefully you'll rebound quick. You say, well, you mean I can confess the same sin more than once? You better believe it. Maybe about a million times in your life, you can go to God and admit your sin, and He always is faithful to forgive you. He doesn't hold it against you that you did it before. Rebound is a procedure. It's executing the promise of God. It says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all wrongdoing. And it is the secret to letting the Holy Spirit control your life. Without using rebound, you will get stuck under the old sin nature. The sin-infused human nature will control your life, and you will manufacture human good, and you will regret the day that you never learned that doctrine. You have to learn how to execute the Christian life. You have to learn how to produce maximum glorification for God. And it starts with you letting the Holy Spirit control your life every day. It starts with you operating under the power of the Holy Spirit, not the energy of the flesh, not falling for the human good area of strength of the old sin nature. The old sin nature is inside the gate. He's very devious. He wants to control your life. And every day He will tempt you. And every day you must make that decision. And that's why Paul wrote, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's just that simple. It is possible to go a day or two without sinning, believe you me. But you must make that decision. Do you want to respond to the temptation of the flesh? Or do you want to be obedient to the will of the Lord? It is your choice. It's your decision. But the old sin nature is real.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.